Hey, y'all, welcome back to Java with Just Jody here on the Patriots Helping Patriots Network. How about that, y'all? Forgive me, I am a little under the weather, but we are going to get through it. I am so excited. Happy New Year to be back. And, you know, you guys, this is going to be quite possibly our biggest year, right, as Patriots. And everyone here has a part. Speaking of, let's get to it. I know you saw the intro, right? Incredible. Our next guest is C.R. Stewart. He is the author of one of the most awarded novels in literature, the Britfield series, Britfield and the Lost Crown. And, you know, I've been through the media and you know how transparent I will be. I don't have the books yet. I cannot wait. After this, I'm totally going to start in on the series. So Chad Robert Stewart, he's an international award-winning and best-selling author, educator, and global strategist. Through his national school tours, you guys, that's right, he went on national school tours. I love this about this author. He actually traveled 9,000 miles through 23 states, presenting over 180 schools to more than 40,000 students. To me, that is incredible. That is so much time. He's truly captivated teenagers and adults to connect genuine with these characters. And I can't wait to really learn more about it. But, you know, these series, there's 7 books. It's actually kind of like traveling through the world. So you're learning as well. Book 1 was France. There's Italy. I'm going to probably butcher this up, so we'll go through this with him. Eastern Europe, Asia, South America, and America. So I'm not sure what I'm missing here. So let's get Chad in here, you guys, and talk about this timeless classic that I am so excited to learn more about. Let's go. Chad, Mr. Stewart, how are you? Good morning. Good to you. You're much earlier. You're 3 hours earlier than me today. Right. Well, I'm excited to have you here. I really dove into this and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to go to bed as I'm learning more and more about this series, because I was unaware until a couple months ago and, you know, really haven't had the time to dig in with all the holidays. So this to me is going to be like an epic thing. It's going to movie in 2025. I mean, you guys have had this in play form. There's interviews, there's articles. I can't wait to get to all that screen sharing stuff. Cool. So tell me, how did this all come about for you? Because it sounds like you were actually like a banker.
Yes. Yeah, I'm originally from Newport Beach, California. I was back east, Wellesley, Massachusetts for 16 years and did my undergraduate in British literature and European history, which will kind of explain the books, gave a great background and foundation for my writing. But eventually got into corporate America, worked for 3 Fortune 100 companies and was an investment banker 12 years ago, but was pulled out of that darkness into the light.
Amen. Right.
So I had an idea. I was at this boring seminar, Providence, Rhode Island. I think it was insurance and I had to go to it. I was sent down there and I started to drift and I started to doodle, and you can almost see behind me, I doodled a simple circle, 3 lines, a basket, a boy and a girl. And I wrote The Boy and the Balloon, and that doodle, that idea, that drawing really captivated me, and I just started to see this whole story come about. And part of it was I lived off and on in England for 2 years. And so book one, actually, Britfield Lost Crown, book one takes place in England, present time. And so I sat down and I started writing. It took me 4 years, 2,500 hours to produce book one, Britfield and the Lost Crown. And then from concept to actually launching August 2019, it was 10 years. 10 years building the team, building the business plan, because we knew that this is a huge undertaking. It's not, I just, you know, be great to sell a couple thousand books or, you know, do a couple book signings and stuff. This was really a global impact. It was really what we're trying to do, and what we're doing now is really elevating literature to a new level, and really taking back, you know, a lot of the different industries such as education, literature, media, and film. And that's what we're all about. That's what we're focused on, providing edifying, good, family-focused content to the world, because we have an 80% gap worldwide for good, clean content. And so we're filling that gap. And so we launched in August 2019. That's when I did my tour, drove 9,000 miles, 23 states, over 200 schools, 40,000 students. That was a lot of fun and great impact. And I mean, I was doing it for a lot of reasons. Number one, obviously, because we're launching the book. And but I was really curious. You read a lot, you know, about what's going on in the United States and the schools and all that. And we do a lot of research. We've been doing that for 10 years. But for boots on the ground to come into the classrooms, to come into the schools, libraries, talk with teachers, was wonderful. I really got a good feel and sense. And we were at every type of school you can imagine: public, private, Christian, Catholic, homeschool, charter, you name it. And so it was just great. Everything from, you know, 80 students in a library to 400 students, 4th through 8th. And would present, you know, a little bit about Britfield, and then the importance of creativity and storytelling,
yeah,
writing your own story and stuff, and really inspiring the children, inspiring the kids, inspiring the students to think for themselves, to trust their instinct. You know, I kind of kick it off by saying one of my favorite quotes is by Victor Hugo, and says, "No standing army can come against an idea whose time has come." And I said, for us at Britfield, this is our time. And an idea is a powerful thing. And I said, sometimes you might have a great idea, but it might take you 3, 5, 10 years, 20 years to realize that idea. It took me 10 years to get Britfield launched. But it's just kind of fighting the good fight and doing everything you possibly can every day, doing your best every day. And here we are. And so really what you've seen in the last 4 years has been what I would consider a soft launch nationally. And this year, gloves are off, and now it's a global launch. So we go from soft launch to global launch. We're already selling Britfield books all through the world, which is incredible.
Yeah, I was looking into that and reading, and I'm like, how did I miss this, right? And I have, you know, daughters that are going to, like, excel over this book and the whole series, honestly. One of my things was about Britfield. I wanted to break it down, like, kind of explaining, I guess, what would be the core, the central theme of this, you know, not just the beginning book, but the series. Sure. What would you say? I mean,
yeah, I love it. And, you know,
it's not often we get to talk to an author, so this is really exciting.
No, and I think it's cool that you bring these type of people on, you know what I mean? Because it's like, there's so much gritty stuff out there, and it's just like, I'm really here just to excite people, you know, because I'm excited about it. And it's really wonderful to be exciting and impacting children and adults across the world with this book series. So I think that the main theme, the core of it, is family, the importance of family, what family means. And I mean, what you have is you have these high octane, fast paced adventure novels. You know, book four is 384 pages. We've had 12-year-olds that have read it in 5 hours. We've had adults that have read it in one sitting because it's so captivating.
Yeah.
And it's like Bourne meets Bond meets Narnia. And there's a great quote that says it's a combination of C.S. Lewis and Dan Brown. So I say all that to say that it's fast paced and exciting, but the core of it is family. That's the number one theme. It's family, friendship, loyalty, courage, faith, hope. I think what's so great about these books and what's so captivating is, number one, they take place in present time. So no more of this futuristic, post-apocalyptic crap that's just saturating the market, right?
We can relate to this series.
Yeah,
we can relate to this book.
And I don't use any of that heightened devices such as, you know, heightened fantasy, witchcraft, demigods, superheroes, occultism, again, saturating the market. And all that does is it disconnects kids from reality, number one. And number two, it makes them feel like they're not good enough to be themselves. If I can only have superpowers, or if I could just have a magical cloak, or, you know, and that's just nonsense. All kids are incredible, gift of God. You know, they're all born creative. They're all born with talents. They're all born with gifts. And so we're really trying to instill that, you know, in them. And they connect with the characters, Tom and Sarah, you know. Yeah. So you have all these circumstances and situations that are happening, and they have to figure it out. And, you know, I'm as authentic as I can be with accurate geography, history, art, architecture, culture, maps in the books. Everything's current time. And it's funny, too, because like with book two, which takes place in France, Britfield and the Rise of the Lion, you'll be reading stuff in there right now and you'll be blown away because it's happening right now. And I wrote that 5 years ago. But again, too, I've done my research.
You know, right. That's so important. Yeah. The thing that there was one actual line when I was reading that I was like, yes, yes. I was so excited to see this line, which was, you know, kind of like move over or watch out Harry and Hermione, right? Tom and Sarah are coming. And even in, you know, our own kind of way, that's the world we're in. And the thing about those books for me was I didn't feel that spiritual connection with characters. And I read just a little bit because I haven't had a lot of time, and I was like getting all captivated. And I was like, you can already feel the vibe of what I would say is more the center of what is going on in the world and God as presence versus some mystical thing or evil, you know, demonicism that kind of hovers over the kids in all these adventure books. I didn't feel that, right? So I was like, yes, this is going to be exciting, because creativity is so beautiful. But if we don't all give them a chance to create as well within what we're reading, what's the point, you know? So. Great.
I'll share this comment real quick. This came in literally this morning. We get comments all the time. This is from a woman in Canada. She said, thank you for writing such an amazing book for children and adults. I just finished the first book and have purchased the second one. I've been telling everyone I know about this series. I'm wondering when it will become available in Canada. I bought the first one at a local store. And then she says, I'm 68 years old and thoroughly enjoyed the first, and I'm looking forward to reading the others. Thank you for writing such entertaining and thought-provoking stories. It makes this granny happy to be able to present this creative, critical thinking, educational stories to her grandkids.
This is great. My sisters are going to love this book. They're in their 60s.
Sure.
You know, they're all older than me, and they were really, you know, back in the day reading, especially one. She knows all the Harry Potter stuff. She knows all of the Lord of the Rings book, you know, all of those things. So with that being said, I never really read all of those. But this one, I think, is what is really going to lay ground with her. I mean, you got descriptions and teachings of geography, history, art, architecture from all of these locations, right?
Culture, so, yeah.
Yeah, how did you bring that in? Why is that significant to, like, your writings?
Yeah, and it's so much fun. And I think, number one, I mean, it's like, so the books travel around the world. So book one, it's in England. Book two, it's France. That's 474 pages. Book three, Italy, 575 pages. I'm writing book four, Eastern Europe and Russia. Book five will be Asia. Book six will be South America. And then book seven will be the United States. So you have this worldwide, fast-paced action adventure series with this royal mystery of Britfield. The two main characters, Tom and Sarah, start at 12 years old. Then they're 13, 14, 15, 16. So it's a lot of fun to go from that sort of middle school to young adult audience, or, you know, and you know, with kids too, when they go from 12 to 13, it's like a decade. And then from 12 to 13, I'm sorry, from 13 to 14 is like another decade. It's huge. And so for me as an author, it's exciting to not only age them by 1 year, but to take place in different countries, because the country now becomes one of the major characters. And so, like, can you imagine if, like, the whole series I kept returning to England over and over again? But it's so much fun for me now to go to, like, France and then Italy. And so it's like in Italy, it's like Florence, Rome, Venice. And so I sit there, like, every day when I'm writing, I'm literally on the website, so I'm pulling up maps of, like, the city and the streets and how far is this distance and what does this Colosseum look like? And this cathedral, and I'm describing the cathedral. And so it has all this just wonderful feel, vividness in it. Yet I don't get stuck in description, if that makes sense. I sort of outline it. I give you a good feel for it. If you want more, you can research it. But it is, it's just, I don't know of any other series like this in literature. And I've tried really hard to pin us, you know, because it's like, what does it remind you of, or what's it like? And I was definitely influenced by Charles Dickens, you know, one of the greatest Victorian authors of all time. So I was inspired by him, obviously C.S. Lewis. But again, you know, it's the land of Narnia. That's magic.
Yeah.
You know, Tolkien, you know, Lord of the Rings. Incredible, you know, whoa, you know, like, wow, yeah. You know, big stories. And then some of the other authors, and then even, you know, James and the Giant Peach, Charlie and Chocolate Factory, was hugely influenced.
I know.
But again, these don't have anything to do with it. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, they're authentic. It's real stories taking place, real history, real current events. In fact, so many of the events that are in it haven't even come out in the mainstream yet. You know, like with book four right now, we're talking about digital currency, one world currency, because that's where they're trying to push us to.
And that's book four.
That's book four, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, people were after they read book two, they're getting back to me and said, what are you, prophetic?
You know what I'm like? Yeah, there's a word. There's a word of what I would say, prophecy.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, I'm just doing my research. I just, you know, I do deep dive research. I know what they're planning. I know what they're thinking and stuff like that. And it all beautifully ties in. It's not kind of the main theme of it. It's really about Tom and Sarah. And Tom's trying to find his parents. You know, he's been an orphan his whole life. He finds out that his parents might be alive. I don't want to give anything away. And that becomes kind of a driver. And then there's this royal mystery of Britfield and how's Tom connected to Britfield and Detective Gowerstone and Professor Hainsworth. And then in book two, it's Inspector Fontaine. You just have all these great characters. And then Oliver, who's someone they bump into at Oxford University in book one. And so it's just this incredible, multi-layered, fast-paced story. But as you're traveling through all these great places. Like book three starts in Lucerne, Switzerland, and then goes to Lake Como, and then to Genoa, and then to Florence, and then to Rome, and then to Venice, and then all the way back to Salzburg, Austria, you know, and then book four starts in Vienna. You know, how great is that? I mean, so I'm sitting here like pulling up the maps and like describing like these beautiful buildings and stuff like that. And it's so much fun to bring that into it. It's like kids are reading it, adults are reading it. They're learning about history, geography, art, architecture, culture. We're hitting the four C's: creativity, critical thinking, communication, and collaboration. And again, it's based on family, friendship, loyalty, and courage. So,
I mean, truly everything that I really would love in my everyday. So why not live it in your books? You know, I got to ask you, so why you're thinking all these things, what inspires these characters for you? You know, as like very mediocre private writer, I can say certain things of life will inspire me about something, you know, so what really did that for you?
Number one, the love of history. Number two, the love of travel. So most of these places are places like I lived in England off and on for 2 years. Most of the places they went to in France, I've been to. Same with Italy. And it's not to say that you have to, you know, you can write about anything you want to and just do your research. But I think it just gives it that fun and that flavor. That's the reason I'm bringing these countries or these places into my story. Like in book one in England, you know, and they finally get to London and it's Bond Street. And then it's, you know, in Mayfair. And then they stay at the Duke's Hotel, which is a real hotel in St. James where I've stayed, and they go to the Brown Hotel for tea, high tea. And it's a real place. You know what I mean? And you can go there and you can visit there. And I've heard from parents that have taken their kids now, like they have to, on these incredible trips. I met someone 3 months ago. I'm surprised a 13-year-old on her birthday because Britfield's her favorite series. Parents just got back from France and Italy, and they were showing me pictures, you know, the trip, and all the places that they went where Britfield took place. And I just thought,
wow.
And that's really, I mean, that's another reason at the core of it. I want to get kids excited about traveling, about other countries, about different cultures, about history, about reading maps, you know, looking at geography again. Mm-hmm. And then the characters are really based on a lot of people in my life or people that I've been influenced in or with or by. And then I think too, also even some actors. I know that Detective Gowerstone for book one was based on Colin Firth, the famous actor. If you're familiar with Colin Firth, The King's Speech, if you remember that. So he's aged out of the role now because we actually, here's our movie script.
Let's get into that before we go over and screen share and all this fun stuff. So this has been a play many times, it sounds like, through schools, right?
So 2 years ago, theatrical teacher at a middle school had recommended, we did a presentation there, and I was leaving, and she's like, do you ever think of turning Britfield into a play. And I'm like, no, you know, I'm like movies, yes, television, yes, you know, products, right. Yes. Never thought about a play.
So she grabs it and is like, we're going to do this.
Yeah. And so it's stuck. She planted that seed. And so, you know, 18 months ago, we decided to transition this book, 384 pages, into a 90-minute two-act play specifically for middle schools, kind of your fifth through eighth graders. It's perfect also for high school. And it took me about over a year to transition it, to write it. And we presented it last October. Two Octobers ago now, for four nights to great success. Has speaking roles for over 30 actors or student actors, 28 sound effects, 54 digital slides you can project on the back. So while they're flying over England, you get these gorgeous images, red tile roofs, grass hills. Coming into London, you see Big Ben. I mean, it's just incredible. And we use, you know, the whole stage, meaning like the main scene, when it's over and the light goes down, the light will come up on the right. And there's another scene that's continuing. Yeah. And we'll use the front bottom of the stage of the aisle. We'll use the main aisle, like where the actors are actually talking as they're walking up towards the stage. So we use the whole theater, and you literally feel like you're there in England. And it was just awesome. I
have a lot of parents that are watching going, man, we want this in our schools, this kind of thing, but it's going to get better than that because now you're going to go to the movie screen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, we're not going to put it aside that someday later down the road, it could be a lot of other things. Right. So tell me how we're going into production and like, you're going to kick off like in 2025, I believe it's scheduled for release. Is that what
correct?
I'm
hearing? Yeah. Yeah. Your dates are great. Your research.
I'm
was
so
good.
Excited about this.
I am too. And it's funny too, because it's always been about the movie, let's be honest. And it's funny, too, I mean, because I come from a film background. I was always fascinated with movies. I was a script writer or, you know, learning to write scripts when I was 18 years old and did that for like years and years. And so, you know, I wasn't a novelist. So when I sat down to write book one, I was lucky because I had the professional training of a script writer. Now, scripts and novels are night and day.
Right.
But in learning to how to write movies, because every one page is a minute, you know, and so a 90-minute movie is really just about 90 pages. You learn the three-act structure. You learn plot points. You learn inciting incidents. You enter late. You leave early. You don't over describe things. Everything is tight, you know, and you know, show it if you can't say it and stuff like that. So it's a great subconscious foundation. So when I wrote book one, people are like, kids are coming back to me and said, oh my gosh, it was like I was in a movie, or I can see this as a movie. And that wasn't even my intention. You know, it was like a blessing, you know?
Oh, wow.
It's all been about the movie. And so I kind of had to sort of contain that because I knew we weren't going to be able to do anything for the film for a while. You know, as we're launching book one and then book two and then book three, but the film's been in development for 2 years. We're now moving into pre-production, which is kind of the next stage, which is exciting. And that means we've already got, you know, the directors were interested in, the actors were interested in. So everything is really going to be accelerating, I think, probably in February. It's already accelerating now. I'm literally, we hired a professional script writer. You know, he's worked for 30 years, all the major studios. And so he produced the first and second draft. And we had a really fun working relationship where he'd send me like the first act, which is like 30 pages. And then I would have a week, you know, and I'd read through it and make all my notes. And then we would sit there and talk. Zoom talk for like 2-3 hours, you know, literally like scene by scene, page by page. And then by the third draft, I took it over just because it was time that I needed to get in there and do what I needed to do. And so I spent this last November, I spent 3 weeks, 150 hours. I took it from 168 to 148 and then did another paper edit, you know, which means from the computer to printing it out and reading it through that and changed another 500 things. And then actually this morning, and starting last Friday, I'm doing my final polish. And so before I got on with you guys, I'm on page 50 and I'm like literally just.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Because it's like 80, 85% there, as most things are. You know, it's really good. We finally got the structure. Now it's just the little things, the dialogue, a few bits and pieces. Just don't quite like that. Doesn't sound right. But we're really ironing it out. We're actually going to be doing a read through with professional actors at the end of the month, which will be the next stage, which will be a lot of fun. So I've got a great producer team. And so we'll kind of be sitting in the back and there'll be a round table. We'll just kind of be listening and watching them read through it and making notes and seeing how it sounds and everything. And then, yeah, we're going to be pretty soon. We'll be looking into site locations. We're hoping to film a lot in England because that's really important, especially for the authenticity. You know what I mean? I know today's films, it's like I can present an opening scene of London, you know, with the London Eye, you know, kind of going around in boats along the river there. And then also the next scene could be Universal Studios, you know, it could be Canada, right? Backlot. Mm. But I want to try to shoot as much as we can in England because I just think, number one, it's just fun and authentic. It builds to the buzz. And it's great for England because I'm telling you, once the movie comes out, you know, tourism is going to increase by probably 5-10%. I'm not exaggerating.
Right.
Because we believe that this movie will be one of the largest grossing films in cinematic history.
I think so. After everything I've read, I am like blown away. Like, I was so excited. I'm like, this is like really incredible to see what the audience wants now, right?
Yes.
We want real, genuine history. We want our children to learn that, yet I still want to learn it with them. And this is something that's creating that for everyone. And more than history, like the feel of something being relatable, right? It's relatable. It's not just theater. It's relatable, you know? So these global book tours that you did and stuff like that, I think that really helps give everyone that one-on-one feel, boots on the ground, like you said, you know? And if this goes for like 7 full movies, then you'll be in America for the 7th. So, you know,
that'd be cool.
Patriots would be so excited to be like, look at our guy go from San Diego, there you go. Right?
There you go.
You know, I mean,
yeah, it's going to be, it's exciting. It's funny. I mean, I have moments, especially like even over the weekend I was driving and I'll listen to some songs, which I see as a great trailer song, whether we get it or not, but I'm seeing this movie and I'm seeing it like the fast pace. I'm seeing the anticipation and the build for this with kids. I could see us pre-selling like a million tickets. I mean, something like that's never been seen before. I can actually see lines. I'm giving prophecy here, if you will, but I could see lines wrapped around the theater, just like 1977 Star Wars, stuff that you haven't seen in decades, you know, just just this excitement because it's like, it's so real. It's feeding your soul. You know what I mean?
I'm going to be like, oh, whatever, y'all. I actually got to speak to Mr. Chad Stewart. He was on my show back in the day. So it's really a pleasure. Let's get over because I think you are right. And I love that it would even get to that point of surpassing some, you know, whimsical magic such as, you know, Harry Potter.
Sure.
That's a big thrill for me. I mean, we all really fell into that for years. And looking back, I'm like, wow, I feel, you know, like maybe it wasn't the greatest thing back in the day for me. Anyway, I want to go over and do screen sharing, you know, as a Christian and everything, I think it is I'm getting at. Harry Potter gets a little. It gets dark. It's too dark.
It's very dark. Yeah.
So is this up? Can you guys see this?
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Am I on the right page, Chad?
Yes.
All right. So I love this graphic. I mean, I don't even know who your designer is, but wow.
Oh, they were amazing. They did an incredible
look
job.
That's beautiful.
I'll give a shout out. Our web designer was Studio 98. They're out of Florida. And they did an unbelievable job with our website, Studio 98. So if you go up a little bit, actually go all the way to the top and then all the way to the top and then click tour. There you go. Perfect. Click tour. There you go. And then go down a little bit.
Okay.
And then this is our, you know, this is our tour that we're talking about. It's kind of fun.
Right?
Look at that.
This is cool. So
there's a little library. I mean, there's a little room in Montana. There's a major auditorium in LA. So,
you know, look at these. Oh my gosh. I have a middle schooler and a high schooler. So I know the thrill it would be for them to like read your book and then get to discuss things with you or ask a question.
Feedback from schools, from teachers, from librarians.
Oh, I love this. Mr. Stewart is inspiring another generation of readers. We are so inspired. I just had her fourth grade class and all they wanted to do was talk about the book and presentation yesterday. Many of the students said they could not put the book down last night. Teachers are wanting to write thank you notes to Mr. Stewart, the Highland School. That's awesome. The Phoenix Ranch School, Quantum Academy. I mean, and honestly, your book design, your cover, right? Big decision. And yeah. I mean, gorgeous. I actually have an overlay. I just want to, of the first three books that I was going to put up. But
oh, yeah. Real quick, too. If you push play, go to play at the very end. Play.
Yeah, down here.
No, sorry. At the very end of
top
the top
end. Oh, there we go. Yes, then, please direct me.
That's right. Go down. So these are some scenes from the play. Isn't that cool?
Oh, this is really cool.
Griffin Lothcrown at a small little middle school black box theater, 250 student or audience. And then go down a little bit, you can see the cast. It's just really, really cool.
Look at this though. Just incredible, right?
These are some of the slides and shots that you'll get with the play.
Oh, man.
And there's the cast. Isn't that great? 30 actors.
That is incredible. Look at them.
Yeah, I mean, it's set up. It's any school can download it right now. It's ready to go. It's got director's script, actor's script, director's notes, sound effects, the digital slides, turnkey.
I wanted to go over to the store. I want to show everybody how to do this. So all y'all need to head on over to the store today. You know I am. And let's break in together. And if this goes well, we can, have another book club. We're going to be doing one on a Nehemiah Strong book. So I think it would be great to do a series. This could be like an ultimate series to do together and talk about. I have other places that we can do that at and Telegram and whatnot. Let's see. Wow, look at this. So you have soft cover and hardcover.
Yes. For book one, we have soft cover, hardcover, and audio done by British voice talent Ian Russell.
Very reasonably priced, I will add as well. It's beautiful.
But if you go up, go up a little bit and click on book three. This is what we launched last year.
Soft cover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that should click. Let's see.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, there it is. Yeah, just look at the image though. Isn't that cool? That's
so cool.
That's in Rome. That's St. Peter's Basilica. And there's Tom and Sarah and somebody else. I don't want to give anything.
So this is a real location in Rome that you have added into this incredible cover. Wow. Yeah. Never been to Rome. Never been to Europe, actually.
Well, this will take you there. And that's part of the reason behind the series, too. It's for people to experience it, and have fun.
Yeah. I have the first three books. Let's put them up. I did get a picture of those I stole somewhere.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so we have Britfield and the Lost Crown, Britfield and the Rise of the Lion. Like, there's, wow, look at this.
Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. I can't get over the hot balloon, the hot air balloon.
I know, isn't that cool?
I know, it's so cool. And also, obviously, right here in the Return of the Prince. Very exciting. I wish I didn't have a cold today so I could even be more excited for you. We have snow coming in here, and allergies have been pouring for a couple days around this place. So, wow, this is awesome. Now, where was I headed before? I wanted to show that. I had something else I was going to show
you. You were doing screen share, right?
Yeah, let's get back over there.
Yeah, because what's great is the website's designed, it has over 400 pictures of England. And so it's designed if you're teaching also, we have an 83-page study guide based on national standards. So this is designed to be taught in the classroom or for homeschool groups. We're already in thousands of schools. We're already being taught in hundreds of schools.
Wow.
So, yeah. So if you go back all the way to the top and just click Britfield, that'll take you kind of the back. There you go. Main site. There we go. Yeah. And if you go down a little bit, go to Oxford. There you go. Click on Oxford and then click Oxford, go down. Yeah, there you go. And then that takes you, because this is one of the places the book goes to. And then you can go down some of the dialogue. So it kind of pulls you into that particular scene.
Yeah.
Look at this. We have interactive maps.
This is so cool.
You can sit there and go, where is Oxford? You know what I mean?
Tom hunted through his map and he pinpointed the location. It's Oxford. I mean, that's like our time too, to discuss it like that. we're pinpointing it, you know. Look at this map.
And then all of a sudden, so this is, and this is pictures of the different places in Oxford, of course, some of the places they see. Look at that, isn't that gorgeous?
Here's it's the, a beautiful website too, like getting around, like I didn't even get to see all of this.
Stunning, yeah. Yeah. There's the barn they crash into.
It's incredible.
Going down. It's probably kind of pick it up back up, and then here's one of the universities they visit.
Wow.
It's like you're right there, you know, and you can imagine this like on a...
The architecture alone is like, I'm so blown away right now. Like really looking at it, it's so beautiful.
Look how beautiful,
you just don't see this type of architecture in America these days, you know. So, I mean, wow. Yeah, I love architecture. So this book alone. So basically, as a writer, you would see these things and go, wow, I need to like include this in my book, like my characters are involved with or have, you know, somehow interacted with this location. Is that kind of, you can drag it into them somehow from that. I mean, never think of that. I would think of like me wanting to twirl around in that grass or pictures of my daughter, right? But not really writing literature. So you've like shared it with the world in such an impactful way. Yeah.
Keep going down, then more pictures. There's High Street, which is one of the major scenes. Because I was like, you know, I describe High Street, you know, in the book, but also you can pull up the website and say, oh my gosh, there it is. It's a real place. There's High Street. There's where Tom and Sarah were running down, being chased.
Wow. Isn't that something? I'm going to remember all this and I'm going to want to look at it all when I'm reading it. High Street. Look at that.
It's kind of cool. Watch the.
It's so cool.
There, look at changes. These are all the shots from Oxford.
Wow. I'm obsessed with those red trolleys or.
Right?
Yeah, like I don't know why.
What's kind of cool is there's a bookstore there and we're gonna be in that bookstore soon, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
Really? Yeah, we're signing with a British book distributor this week. So that means that the entire Britfield series will be available throughout Britain, all bookstores, schools, libraries in Europe, starting soon. So.
Well, where would you like to go up here?
Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah. Go to London.
All right. Let's go to London.
And then go down.
I feel like I am traveling.
Perfect.
Oh, check it out.
Nice
and for my map. London crew, they are probably loving this. We have a good little size audience in London. So, hi, y'all. That is awesome. Oh, here's Kingston. Okay.
That's funny, yeah.
It's crazy because now I can actually see where like some of our audience is located. You know?
Yeah.
Interesting to me. Wow.
There's the London Bridge.
So Tom and Sarah get to really see it all.
Royal Albert Hall. Isn't that great? That's right off of Hyde Park. That's in one of the scenes. And then
it's beautiful. I mean,
look at that. And that is gorgeous.
It is. I mean, wow.
I saw a Christmas concert there one year.
Now that would be quite the experience.
Which was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and then just some different scenery. It's obviously Big Ben.
All I know is Tom says the right thing. Yes, you were right, Sarah.
Just so Buckingham Palace. Look at that. All these just great pictures, just bringing it alive.
It is really incredible.
Next scene is really cool.
Hyde Park.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, see, look at this.
Oh.
Isn't that gorgeous?
It is.
That was my favorite place to go when I'm in London, is Hyde Park.
Oh, I can't blame you. Look at that. It's so peaceful.
It's really cool. Yeah, like you're downtown London, hustle bustle, busy, loud, noisy, walk into the park, and it's like another world. Peace. And it's just,
isn't that something?
I mean,
it almost looks like you're very close to the clouds or something.
Yeah. What's interesting too, is like, and you get some of that with New York, but it's more narrow. And I think around the park, you see all those high rise buildings. So you're not really disconnected from it. But I think in Hyde Park, you don't see the big high top buildings. And so it's like, you're suddenly like out in the middle of nowhere. It's really
cool. Wow. This is actually incredible.
But yeah, it's a great way to experience the book. I mean, you know, like,
yeah, for sure.
Go to Canterbury at the end there. So it goes from Yorkshire to the Midlands to Oxford to Windsor to Richmond to London to Canterbury. So there you go. Just go Canterbury.
Yeah, it's very fascinating.
And again, the map clicks on.
So what inspired you to make sure this, that the map was there and that it was interactive?
Again, because it's like, number one, like, you know, I'm really into geography.
I like that. I like that. And there's a map.
As a nation, you know, it's one of the lowest scoring subjects for kids. They have no idea. They don't even know where Colorado is, really.
Really?
And you sit there and say France, they're like, what's that? You know what I mean? So it's a great way to get kids really engaged in geography and world maps. And it's like in our book, you know, every book, like for Finn Lost Crown, there's five maps, you know. So first is a map of Britain. So it shows all the different locations they go. And then we have one of London. We have one of Oxford. So it's a great way for kids to look at the maps and see the different streets that they go down.
That was probably really shocking when I seen the map. And I really think that I love that the most, even though there's all these incredible pictures. I like that there's a map telling me where it's at. You know,
the same way, you know what I mean?
Visually,
you know, yeah.
Instead of looking blindly into the world all the time, like, oh, yeah, you know, okay, over in London, overseas, in Europe. But when you see it on a map, you're like, whoa, look at where Oxford is, you know?
Yes, puts it in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right? And again, incredible photography. So for my RC crowd, they're going to love this as well. We have a lot of photographers, you know, and Patriot photographers that travel the world and post so many things into some of the photography groups on places like True Social and whatnot. And I think they're going to enjoy this. I know I do. So, wow.
And then
this
you can
is
go...
exciting. I think I needed this interview today. It's very refreshing for me. It's, you know, like refreshing. It's like inspiring. You're learning. And the world is so hard politically right now.
Exactly,
so
right.
It's nice to step away and give credit where credit's due and get excited about something. So I can't wait to read all of the books.
I mean, every day we're impacting thousands of students across the world right now, children
so
that are
beautiful.
Reading this book, that are being inspired. I mean, the feedback, I got more feedback this morning, like 3 or 4 emails from some students, you know, saying how much they love the book. And it really is. It's exciting in that they're learning something real. They're connecting with something real.
Look at how beautiful.
So simple, but beautiful.
Yeah, right.
And then if you go to the top and just push book two. There you go. Yeah. It's not that by no means as interactive, but go down a little bit. This is kind of an extended view of the book cover, and then go all the way down and you'll see some really cool pictures of France. This is where some.
Oh, wow. Check this out.
How beautiful that is. Little island outcrop. Yes.
This is where I would probably want to be. My youngest too. Like she has like a picture very similar in her room behind her bed of just a lavender field with something very simple and mountainous. Yeah, it's gorgeous. However, you must experience these things, you know, when you can, if you can see these things. I'm from a firm believer that it really creates such beauty in your soul to see beauty, you know?
So there I am as a you know, college student, you know, and after traveling, look at that. That's Chambord.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. What is this place?
It's called Chambord. It's in the Loire River Valley.
Wow.
That was his hunting retreat.
Wow.
France. And rumor has it that Leonardo da Vinci had helped design the staircase inside. The estate itself is so big that the actual estate, the land around it, is larger than Paris.
Oh my gosh. I mean, a hunting retreat? I can't imagine his home.
And that was the rooftop was designed to look like Istanbul, city, and it's like if you go back,
look at that up there. It's just like peaks everywhere. Like there's little buildings on top of the building.
And you can go up there, you can walk around. It's so cool. I was there. I visited there. I have never heard of this.
Chambord, huh?
Oh, yeah. Look at that. I mean, isn't that the most amazing chateau castle that you've ever seen?
I didn't learn about that in art history.
Look at the clouds. It's so beautiful.
Or anything to do with journalism or broadcasting.
Yeah.
However,
but interesting as I'm traveling, you know, little did I know that I was recording, if you will, in my mind for a future book series, you know.
Oh, exactly. It was like you were being prepped, I firmly believe. God's prepping us for our next step in life.
Sure, sure.
You know, and different people have different stories about it, but I often think early on, even with people like Betsy Ross, you know, creating a flag or, you know, what actually brought her to the point of going to be the flag sewer, you know, and make the most famous flag for our country or whatnot. So I think of those little steps and measures of people. And it looks to me like you were being schooled to be able to share all of this mass knowledge with so many people. And they can travel with you and learn these experiences with these characters, you know. So that's exciting.
Yeah, like British literature, European history major, right? And it's like, and yet, boom, here it comes into this wonderful series. And so I learned from some great professors at a great school, reading great books, and I get to share all that with others. And so it's fun.
Wow. Well, I can't thank you enough for being here today. I mean, I am so excited, you guys. I want everybody to head over to Britfield.com, check it out. Let's read this book. I'm definitely going to be placing an order. And because you have a hardcover, I'm like the, you know, geeky.
I'm a hardcover.
Yeah, I'm like geeky. So I'm definitely going to get that. So thank you so much. If anytime you need to do any promotion, please get a hold of me. All right. And to the crowd, you guys, I will be here Wednesday with Mr. Clay Clark. We will be talking about the Reawaken America Tour in Michigan. That's right. They're coming to my home state. It's going to be excited. My whole team's going to be here. They're all flying in from everywhere. So we're going to have a great time in June. So come on and learn about all that. But Chad, incredible series. Thank you so much. And anytime, please come back.
Well, right? Great interview. Appreciate your enthusiasm.
Oh, thank you. And until then, God bless you. God bless POTUS 45 and God bless America. We will see y'all soon.